You're listening to Abba Chazar with Daniel Eisberg, Masech HaSukkah, Daf, Hey Amud Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, the two dots. Okay, so we say, V'sheinu gavoa asara tefachim, that's what our Mishnah says. If it's not 10 tefachim tall, then it's a pasul sukkah. So, Minolan, where do we know that? How do we know 10 tefachim is the magic number? Itmar, it was stated, Rav v'Rabbi Chanina v'Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Chaviva masnu. Rav and Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chaviva taught. And now, just a parenthesis, Bekula Seder Moed, whenever we're in Seder Moed, Kol Ki Hai Zuga, whenever we see this, Zuga often means like a pair, but it means this grouping over here. Whenever we mention these four together in Seder Moed, Chalufi Rabbi Yochanan Umayli Rabbi Yochanan. You can switch out Rabbi Yochanan and put, put in Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan. So we are in Seder Moed. We're in Sukkah, so there is reason to possibly replace Rabbi Yochanan in this discussion to Rabbi Yonasan. Okay. Anyway, what do they teach? Aron Tisha v'Kapores Tefach Harikana Asara. The Aron is 9 Tefachim, and the Kapores, which is the cover of the Aron, is a Tefach. 9 plus 1, basic arithmetic, we have 10. So we have 10 Tefachim. This doesn't teach us anything about the size of Sukkah yet. Well, v'ksiv, and it's written, v'no'adati l'cho sham, v'dibarti d'cho me'al ha'kaporas. Hashem says that I'm going to meet with you there, and I'm going to speak to you from on top of the kaporas. So Hashem is on top of the kaporas, therefore, and he therefore is 10 tefachim high. We still haven't explained yet what this has to do with the Sukkah, or domains in general. Just quickly, Rashi points out, how do we see that the Aron is 9 Tefachim. Torah doesn't say it's 9 Tefachim. Torah says they should make, the bottom Rashi, Govo d'ksiv v'ama v'chetzi chomaso. The height of the Aron is written as an amma and a half. And v'ama bas shisha Tefachim. So discussion earlier, sometimes we have an amma 5 Tefachim, 6 Tefachim, but basic amma is 6 Tefachim. So amma and a half is going to be 9 Tefachim. And the Kaporis being 1 Tefach, we'll have to see later on the Sambat. So now, Betanya, we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Me'olam lo yorda shechina lamata, ve'lo alu Moshe ve'liyahu l'moro. Hashem never, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, never came down into this world. And Moshe and Eliyahu, despite anything you might think about them, never actually ascended to the Morom, to the heights. It's beyond this world. Shenemar, how do we know? It's the pasuk in Tehillim and Hallel. Hashemayim, Shemayim, La Hashem, Haaretz, Nasan, Levnei Adam. The heavens are heavens to Hashem, and the land is for humans. So we therefore see that Shemayim is a place for Hashem, not for humans, not for Bnei Adam. Oretz is a place for Bnei Adam, not for the Shechina. They don't cross paths. And therefore, if Hashem is appearing me'al kapores, so we'll have to see what exactly it means. But that's 10 tefachim in the air, right? And it's like a different domain. Rashi says, "Bekorah ksiv de'al kapores yarad." It says that Hashem descended upon the Aron. Shema mina. We learn from this lemala me'asara mifsaka reshusa, that above 10 tefachim is its own reshus, is its own world, which implies that below 10 tefachim is a separate rishus, and therefore a sukkah needs to be at least that. Can't be smaller than 10 tefachim. Okay. Now we're going to challenge this point. Hold on. The low, back to the Gemara. Fourth line. The low yard of Shechina lamata. Shechina never descended to below into this world. But the pasuk says Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Right. We're getting ready for Matan Torah. We're getting ready for Shavuos. So Hashem descended upon Har Sinai. So isn't that going into this realm? No, l'mal me'asar tefachim. He stopped before 10 tefachim, before the ground. Okay. V'haksiv. But the pasuk says, it's a pasuk in Zechariah, talking about what will be. V'amdu raglov b'yomahu al harazesim. And his feet will stand on that day on Har Azesim, on Har Azesim, in your sign, the Mount of Olives. So Hashem is going to be standing there. That's going to be below 10 Tefachim. No, it doesn't, even though it sounds maybe like his feet are standing there, but it's not literal. God, anyway, doesn't have a literal body. That, right? The Shekhinah doesn't actually have feet. So it's not supposed to be taken literally, and really it's going to be above 10 tefachim, whatever aspect of Hashem ascends or descends upon Har Zeisim. Okay. Fine, but let's switch the other way. Really? Moshe Rabbeinu Eliyahu didn't go up to the Marom? You say, Haaretz Nesan Levnei Adom, that they have no shaykhus to Marom. V'haksi, but when we have a pasuk, it says, V'moshe Allah El HaElokim. See, Moshe went up to, ascended to Hashem. So, where says, L'mat Mesara? No, he didn't go all the way up. He went, went somewhat high up. He went up a mountain, but he didn't go 10 tefachim above that mountain. He went 9 tefachim, whatever it is. But he was still within his reshus, not entering in Hashem's domain. Wait, hold on. But you have another pasuk that says, Vayal Elyo b'sara ha-shamayim. So we have Elyo, right? There was a whirlwind that took Elyo up. This is in Sefer Malachim when Elyahu died. Or actually, that's the wrong question to use. When Elyahu didn't die. When he went up to Shamayim alive, he went up in this whirlwind to Shamayim. But he still didn't enter within 10 tefachim, the upper 10 tefachim in Hashem's domain. Okay. It's a pasuk in Eov. It's hard to exactly translate this, and we'll see that's part of this. But right, when he grasps the surface of the throne, upon him, his cloud. He seemingly spreads upon him his cloud or something like that. But parches is a hard word. Malami this teaches us shepiras shakai miziv shchinaso va'anono alav. This is how he understands parches. So it's a hard word. He darshens it as perish or peris shakai miziv shchinaso. That Hashem spread, right? Shakai spread the glow of His divine presence and a cloud upon him. This pasuk is—that's what it's referring to when he spread a cloud upon him. This is referring to a Gemara in Shabbos, also by Matan Torah. It's really amazing. We're on the road to Shavuos and we're seeing all these Matan Torah ideas. When Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai, and the Malachim say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" I came to get the Torah, and they start challenging him. Like, no, Torah is ours. Hashem says, respond to them. He says, I'm scared. Hashem says, grab onto my kisei, and he grabs onto the throne. Then he responds, and he challenges them back. So, what's written in the Torah? And he shows how each of these sources doesn't apply to them. So this is Gemara and Shabbos, Peches, Peites. So it's partially darshened from this pasuk over here in Eov that he grabbed the surface, the face of the throne, and then Hashem spread something upon him. So Hashem spread something upon him. So it sounds like he's up there. It sounds like he's up there in Shemayim. So now the Mata Me'asara, it's below 10 tefachim. It wasn't that high. Well, Mikol Mako Ma'aches Pnei Kisei Ksiv, but it said he grabbed the throne. He's touching the kisei kavod, whatever that means. Gemara says, "Ishtaravuve ishtaravavle kisei adasara v'nakatbe." That so this is kind of, it means like it increased and like it stretched out, like the throne kind of lowered itself to be within 10 tefachim, and then he grabbed it. So reading really, yes, Hashem. Kaviyachol sitting in his kisei is above 10 tefachim, and Moshe was below 10 tefachim. And the throne really wouldn't be entering it. Meaning, seemingly, if Moshe would be grabbing the throne, Moshe would be entering a different domain. But that's not how we're supposed to understand this. Rather, the throne stretched down into the lower domain, and that's how Moshe was able to grab it. But we don't have any more contradictions. So, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Oretz, the son of Ne'adam. And we have established that 10 tefachim is a domain, is a different airspace, and that's the smallest size for a sukkah. So now the Gemara is just going to challenge that where we draw the size from. B'shloma aron tisha d'ksiv asu aron atzei shishim amasayim v'chetzi arko v'ama v'chetzi rachbo v'ama v'chetzi komaso. That last was the key one, right? Granted that the aron is 9 tefachim, as we saw in Rashi previously, that it says, and you shall make the aron of Aseh Shittim, of cedar wood, of acacia wood, two and a half amos its length, and one and a half amah its width, and 1.5 amma its height. And that height is going to be 9 tefachim. El kaporas tefach minolan. How do we know that the kaporas is a tefach? Detani Rabbi Chanina, kol hakelim shosim Moshe, nosna behen Torah, midas arkan, umidas rachvan, umidas kamasan, kaporas, midas arka, midas rachvan nasna, midas kamasa, lo nasna. So we have a teaching of Rabbi Chanina who said that all the kelim that Moshe made, the Torah gave the specific midah for the length and the width and the height. However, for the kapores, we were given the length, we were given the width, but we were not given the height. Say ulmad. I'm going to be able to say ulmad. Just had it at the Seder, and we don't have a Seder. Usually it's Tal Shema coming here. Just go out and learn over here. Say ulmad mi pachos shebekelim. So you're going to derive it. We don't. Meaning, so far Rabbi Chanina says, granted, we don't know how big, how tall the kaporis is. That thick cover on top, how tall? But let's learn it out from the smallest of the kelim. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, vasisa lo misgeres tefach saviv. You're supposed to make for it a misgeres, which is like a border around, and it's going to be all around. There was a couple of things. The shulchan has the misgeres, and it has, and it's a tefach. Malahalon tefach, afkan tefach. So, meaning we're gonna jump to the smallest kli that we know about. We don't know what the kaporis is, the size of it. So we're gonna go. Okay, what's the, how thick is the, how tall is the miskeres? The tefach. So the kaporis also presumably is a tefach. Okay, vanilaf mikelim guvayhu. Well, why don't we just learn it? Why do we have to go to the smallest one? Maybe learn from the kelim themselves. I don't know. Learn from the aron. Maybe the kaporis is 9 tefachim tall. Derive from the Aron, right? Maybe that's more closely related than the Miskeres. So the Gemara says, Tefasta meruba lo tefasta, tefasta muat tefasta. Right, this common phrase, and this is, is this really a spice and shots we have? I'm not sure. We have an Arabic also. Right, tefasta meruba lo tefasta. If you grab a lot, you didn't grab. Tefasta muat tefasta. If you grab a little bit, then you grabbed. Rashi explained this concept. Says that whenever kol davar shemashmo meruba amuat, whenever you have like a big thing and a small thing, im tefasta samuat yofa tefasta. If you grab the small amount, so you did a good job and you're grabbing. Debatsim mehachi lo mashma, because less than that you can't do. Vim yimtza shahaya lachal tefos hamaruba, and if really you're supposed to grab the larger amount, har yosifa lacha, you'll add on what you need. And no one's going to take anything from you. If you didn't know if I was supposed to take a lot or is it supposed to take a little bit. So if you, the safest thing you could do is take the smallest amount possible that you know was meant. But if you take a large amount, you don't end up grabbing at all. Because you're going to look like a liar with your words, meaning you took what was not you're not supposed to take. Maybe you're supposed to take the smaller amount. And you increased and took more than you're supposed to, so you're going to lose what you took in your hand. Behind a lotavasta, that's what it means, that you didn't grab it all. But if you get the small amount, they add on good. And even if they don't add on, whatever you grabbed was already grabbed. It's a mushal. It's a mushal that we always go with the smaller amount. That if you go with the smaller amount, you didn't lie. You didn't lie. You didn't say anything inaccurate. You didn't take the wrong amount. Sometimes you might have to add a little bit more and build up afterwards. But if you overshoot, then you might be lying, right? If you know on your taxes or whatever it might be, you know you give a low. If you're going to give a lower estimate, I'm not sure if in taxes it works, but you give a lower estimate. You don't want to get in trouble and I'm a liar. You're not sure. You go with the smaller amount, and then and if someone has to give a little bit more afterward, then great. So based on that mashal. We're halachically also, when we halachically derive ideas from other places, we're going to go with the smaller option. So tevasta mu'at tevasta, and therefore we're going to learn from the smallest kli we know of. What's the smallest kli? The miskeres, the border around some of the kelim. That's a tefa. Hold on, v'nelef mitzitz. Well, you want to go small. Right? Go smaller, go home. Right? I'm going to say go bigger, go home. Go smaller, go home. Go even smaller than that. What about the tzitz? D'tanya, that we learned in the Braisa. Tzitz doma kimin tas shel zahav. The tzitz is like a bar of gold, like a thin bar of gold. V'rachav beis etzba'os. It's only two fingers thick. Right? Tefach is four etzba'os. So it's only two fingers thick. Umukav me'ozen la'ozen, and it would go from ear to ear. The kasuva love beis shitin, and it was written in two lines, yud and hey, milmala, v'kodesh lamed lamata. Really, it's not really yud and hey, it's actually yud ke vav ke. It said kodesh la'Hashem, and what he's saying is that the top line said Hashem's name. It said kodesh la first, but that was on a lower line, lower than the word Hashem. And Hashem was at the top, like was on the line above, but it was more to the left. So it says like as it was written here, like Kodesh la Hashem, so that the name of Hashem would be higher. But anyway, so it was on two lines. Vam Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Ani Re'isiv Biromi. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi said, I actually saw it Biromi. Right, they let me into the Vatican at one point, and I saw v'ksuva love Kodesh LaHashem b'shita achas. I actually saw that it was written Kodesh LaHashem on one line. Rashi's over here. Ani Reisiv Biromi Shechnisu LaOtzer Hamelech Kedamrinim B'Meilim Ben Talmion. In Ben Talmion, they gave him permission to enter into the Vatican or wherever it was that they were keeping it, and he actually saw a tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. So this is Rav Schechter, when he quoted it regarding using archaeology to help to learn halacha. That if he wouldn't, right, like we have a halacha discussion, and he's using I saw this in Rome. Maybe that should tell me something halacha, and then this is a whole discussion based on that. And maybe it's not, maybe it is a proof, maybe it's not a proof, because it could be there are different types. There are many different tzitz in for different Kohen Gadol. Every Kohen Gadol had one made to fit his head, so it could be different. Okay. Anyway, so that's it. The bottom line is that's even smaller. So why don't we say that the kapores is two etzbos? Done in kli mi kli, vein done in kli mitachshit. We're going to learn a kli from a kli, and we're not going to learn a kli from a tachshit, an adornment, something like a clothing that he has. So over here, it's not just tavasta, we go for the smallest one in the most appropriate category. But since this is not in the same category. Okay, Vanilif Mizer, we'll learn it out from the golden crown that was around some of the Kalim, right? The Aron had a crown, the Mizbeach, Hazav had a crown, the Shulchan had a crown, there's a Zer around. Damar Mar, as the master said, Zer Mashahu. And the Zer was a Mashahu. Just a small, very small size, as small as you can make it. So learn from that, Mar says. Done in kli mi kli, ain't done in kli mi hechsher kli. We're going to learn a kli from another kli, and not from like a hechsher of the kli. It's a little bit of a funny word. Rashi says kishut shulchan hu. It was like a decoration of the shulchan. It wasn't like it's like its own kli itself. So the Gemara says ihachi miskeres nami hechsher kli hu. If so, then the miskeres also it's a hechsher kli hu. So now miskarto la mata hayasa. No, the miskeres wasn't like a tachshit of the kli of the shulchan. It was like a lower, it was lower on the shulchan, and therefore kind of served as its own kli as opposed to an adornment for the shulchan. Well, that's not so. That's only hanicha leman to amar miskarta leman to hayasa eleman to amar miskarta lemala hayasa mayika lememar. So this is a machlokas in Menachos Rashi fills us in on Sadi Vavam and Beis. There's a machlokas whether the miskeres of the shulchan was lower on the shulchan or higher on the shulchan. If it was lower on the shulchan, then maybe I wouldn't call it a hechsher kli. I wouldn't call it an adornment for a kli. But if it's higher up on it, then I would call it an adornment for the kli. So according to the opinion that it's lower on the shulchan, okay. So maybe the miskeres is its own independent kli, and therefore I'm going to learn the kapores from the miskeres. But if it's higher up, then the miskeres is no better to learn from than the zer, from the crown, and I would learn it from the crown, and that would be a mashahu. So what we've said so far is a good approach according to one opinion in Menachos about the Mascaras of the Shulchan. What about the other one? So we need to find a new approach. So Ma'ikol Meimar. So Hi Hechsher Klihu. This is a Hechsher Kli. Eladon and Davar Shenasna Bo Torah Mida. Midavar Shenasna Bo Torah Mida. Rather, we're going to learn the Kaporis. If we're looking for a primary source to derive and apply to this, we're going to learn it from something that the Torah actually gave the measurement for. We're not going to learn it from something that doesn't have an explicit source in the Torah. Yes, we have a tradition that the tzitz was two etzbaos. We have a tradition that the zer was a mashahu. But that's not explicit in the Torah. What's the smallest kli that's mentioned explicitly, that its size is mentioned explicitly in the Torah? The miskeres, being a tefach, and therefore that's going to be our source. Rahuna Amar Mehacha. And Rahuna gives us yet another source. So far we're really at two sources. One of them we can only learn according to one mandamar menachos. The other one we can learn according to both mandamar menachos. But here's another source. Mehacha. Al pnei hakapores, kedma. The pasuk says it's going to be al pnei hakapores, on the kedma, in the front, on the face of the kapores. Ve'ein panim pachas mitefach. And you don't have a face that's less than a tefach. Imagine like this. Right? You don't have a face smaller than a tefach. Ve'ema ka'ape de bar yuchni. Hold on, you want to play the face game? We'll play the face game. What about the bar yuchni? So who's the bar yuchni? So heading over to Sesame Street, Rashi says, Bar Yuchni is an Of Gadol, it's a big bird. Of Gadol Huma Od, it's a very big bird. So much so, Uba Bechoros, it discusses it. Amrinan Pam Achas Hatila Bar Yuchni Beitzavim Komenu. At one time, the Bar Yuchni's egg fell in our place, and Vitova Shishim Krachim, it drowned 60 cities, Shivra Shinarozim, 300, and it destroyed 300 cedar trees. So there's some creature called a Bar Yuchni. I mean, literally, what's going on with this Bar Yuchni? But whatever it is, whether it's an actual thing or it's just a concept, but it has a very large bird with a very large face, and therefore you're telling me, oh look, Pnei Hakapores, a face. Faces are usually about a tefa. What about the face of a Bar Yuchni? So the Gemara responds again. Tvasta Maruba lo tvasta tvasta mo tvasta. We go after the smallest. Don't give me Bar Yuchni. We're going after the smallest. The Gemara says, okay, ve'ema kape de tzipirta. Okay, fine. So let's do small birds. Hummingbird. What about the face of a hummingbird? Just tiny. De zutar tuva, which is a very small, excessively small, the face of a hummingbird. That's much less than a tefach. So you see the word panim or panay, and you think, oh, tefach. You have large faces, you have small faces. Okay. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, Rav Huna, pnei gamar. Rav Huna had a gzeir shava of pnei. K'siv hacha el pnei kapores, v'k'siv hasam meis pnei Yitzchak aviv. That there is it says the face of Kaporas, and the face of Yitzchak Aviv. And therefore, we're going to say that we're talking about not a hummingbird, not this. We're talking about a regular human face, which is I guess on average, I don't know, something like that, around a tefach, and therefore, that's another source to see that the Kaporas is going to be a tefach, like a human face. The discussion will continue. If you can really derive that from that type of face, maybe there's other faces you derive it from, but we'll leave that for tomorrow night.